Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the.
Thank you for tuning in to the Debunker Boys. Once again, my name is Guzzo, also known as Ryan Gazzardo. I'm not sure which I prefer to go by more, Guzzo or Ryan. Guzzo sounds a little more exciting. What do you think, Bob?
Sounds a little Guzzo's cool. You know, Bunker Bob, I sound like a goddamn pedophile, but... you know what I'm saying? I don't give a shit. Call me Bob. Just don't call me Bob.
Well, we call them as we see them. But, coming up is Mommy's Day tomorrow. Everybody out there, make sure you give yourself mommy something nice, whether it be flowers, candy, or a smack on the ass. But, just... Just make sure you take care of your moms and make sure to make her feel special. I don't know what you got your mom, Bob, but I got my mom a can opener and a knife sharpener because I swear to God she cannot keep a can opener working for more than a month, and her knife set is so dull I couldn't cut my wrist if I wanted to. What'd you get your mom?
Good. Nothing.
Nothing.
I'm gonna call her tomorrow and tell her I love her, and because we live forever away. I know that's not a good excuse, but
1-800-Flowers.com. They do next day delivery.
I bought a car, dude.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, anyways, a few things coming up. I'm actually at the end of this month, I'm having a spinal fusion surgery. So I'm going to be the aluminum monster for the next few months. Walking around in a back brace.
It'll be
interesting.
Mr. Naughty Sal.
Well, last week we had a really interesting show. I got on Google and was looking for paranormal investigation teams that claim to have knowledge within demonic possession and exorcisms and stuff. And Reverend, if you actually listen to the archive show, you can hear us talking about the Reverend talking on the show. And
why does it keep doing that, dude?
Reverend.
That, what? Huh?
Reverend.
The console goes crazy. Crazy when you say Reverend. Let's stop saying that.
This guy was extremely opinionated and very, very sure of himself, and so sure of himself that Robert, unfortunately, could not talk most of the show because his opinions were very, very different. Do you want to kind of talk about what you were feeling about last week's show? Dead air.
No, not dead air. Who said dead air? No. See, I believe it's our spirits. I don't believe that all that is on here is our demons and angels, because then you break into your atheist beliefs, which, I mean, this guy didn't believe, he's not an atheist. He believes that when a spirit comes back, it's an angel, but then that contradicts the Bible because it says that you wait until the end of days when judgment, you know, judgment will come, and then you'll rise from your graves. But then it also speaks of spirits. It does speak of spirits, you know, roaming the earth and different subjects like that. So I don't see a spirit becoming an angel if it comes back from heaven, or, you know, it'll only be in demons. It was his opinion. What I'm basing my facts off of is the Bible he actually goes off of. And it says totally different than what his personal opinion is saying.
You know, oh, most definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like,
yeah,
this, it's like,
holy hell.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of felt like a dick earlier, like, when I was talking with him, when he started talking about, you know, illnesses and stuff and how that's all driven by demons. And then, you know, I just had to bust out. I'm like, so according to you, we can get away with modern medicine and just cure everybody with exorcisms.
Yeah, basically.
You know, it goes back to that whole Baptist belief. You know, I believe, aren't most of the faith healers Baptists?
Yeah, well, and Pentecostals, I believe, Pentecostals too. But yeah, and then you got your snake dancers and your holy rollers, and man, that's almost like drugs, dude. You got your red ones and your blue ones and your flippers and your dippers.
Oh yeah, it's the whole faith healing thing. You remember that whole scam that was on TV? It was on the infomercials where they were talking about call them and they will send you holy water and or something like that, or you send a faith, you send a prayer in, and all of a sudden money will start showing up in your account and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see that one? That was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard of.
The most ridiculous thing I ever heard of was a girl that her dad was a pastor, and she was $100 short on her rent. She prayed to God, and she counted that money again, and there was an extra $100 in there. Because that $100 bill just had sex with another one and popped in another $100 bill. It's the only thing I could think of. Reproduction.
Oh, it
seems
like,
yeah.
Or it seems like the second time she counted, she actually used her fingers and toes.
Yeah. Yeah, because they didn't have them sticking together. Why did she have sticky money? We shall never know.
Oh, I don't know how many times I've actually got discounted stuff at McDonald's because I go through the drive-thru. And with me being a magician, you know, I can do sleight of the hand. And when I'm counting off money, I can make it look like I'm counting off more money than I actually have in my hand. And then when I hand the money to the window clerk or whatever, he's usually too dumb to actually count it because I count it right in front of him. Like, I'll have five bills in my hand, and five $1 bills, and my total will be like $8 and or $7.80 something or something like that. So I'll count it off, the five, like it's $8, do my sleight of the hand, and then hand it to him, and he'll actually give me change back. You know? So
yeah.
Is that... You know, I could say, Lord Jesus, the Lord needed that extra $3, so he took it away from me.
Are you there, brother? Oh, God, don't tell me the console went down. We lost the consulate. He muted himself, dude. Are you on crack? Stop muting yourself.
Oh, well, I got some things going on here at the house that I kind of... You know, don't want broadcasted over on the air. So, but So what did you think of the Reverend, and what did you think about him, like, at the end? Did you listen to that? I know you had to go early, but at the end he goes, and folks out there listening, if you need help, get in touch with Ryan or Robert, and they will get in touch with me, and I will determine how to help you.
Well, I'm going to have to declare a statement on behalf of Ryan and Robert. Half of that was true. Get in touch with us and we'll help you, but we will not get in touch with anybody else. You do not declare your services upon us without speaking with us no one is privy to that information or, you know, our services without talking to us first. And with someone going on their own belief on something, I would not tell anybody to go to them. I'm sorry.
No. And I don't even know who the hell this guy was. I literally talked to him 4 hours prior to the show.
Yeah, you got to build a relationship with someone before you just think you can automatically say stuff like that. That bothered me.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be different if you, you know, build a relationship with the Debunker Boys and then came to us and then said, hey, look, can we do this? And that'd be different, but.
Well, you know what was the funniest thing? I was literally sitting there. Me and Robert Veach were sitting there pretty much contradicting everything this guy was saying, and he was sitting there telling us, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And, you know, it's demons. It's demons. And we're contradicting him, and he still thinks that we're going to use him as an outlet for the calls that we get.
Hey, there's one of his colleagues.
If you or one of the demons he exercised. I mean, the biggest thing, like, he really seemed like a bit of an exaggerator. I'm not docking the man himself. He is a good man, and he seems very passionate about what he does. It's just contradictory with my beliefs and apparently most of the people that I talk to's beliefs. Actually, one of them is going to be coming on the show later. Hopefully he doesn't forget because I did schedule him. But we have got Brad Kling from the show Ghost Lab calling in about 45 minutes to kind of share his ideas and share his opinions. Last week he could not be on when the good Reverend was on, but he did have us quote him on his opinions of what the Reverend was saying, and it'll be interesting to hear what his take is on this whole subject. Let me quote Brad again real quick.
Hey, hold on, dude. You're a necromancer. Stop talking. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What?
He called us necromancers because we talk to the dead.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm a necromancer. Well,
yeah,
he said,
if
he
you
said,
open
I don't
the door to Jesus, he'll let you in, okay? If you open the door to Jesus, he will let Jesus into your heart. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Dude, you're crossing some lines there.
I'm going to burn in hell.
Hey, Hey, Robert, do you know how to play euchre?
Pam does.
Pam does? Well, shit,
yeah,
you better make sure she's right
it.
Down there with us. So she can teach us, and we're going to play a shitload of euchre in hell.
Yep. She won't, in her eyes, dude, we've got, you know, a difference of opinion in religion. She thinks she's God, and I know better. She's God. So, So in her eyes, we'll be in hell and she'll be in heaven.
She'll be God's right hand woman.
Yeah. He'll be smacking that ass. Dude, I think my heart just like got a little bit of a piece of a lightning hit it. You know, it was like the walls burning. Like, no.
And with our whole experience with psychics, what did you think about the Reverend's opinion on psychics?
That they were possessed by demons, and that he was working on one that was possessed by 7,000.
7,000.
That person would look so freaking schizophrenic, dude. The person wouldn't even be able to get a word out. They'd be catatonic in a corner slobbering. There's 7,000 personalities now.
Well, let me quote Brad Kling from what he said last week again. I don't usually debate people's opinions, and obviously it's only his opinion. When it comes to the belief in ghosts, you have to base it on your own experience, and in my case, extensive research, which has found various reasons behind what we all loosely term as a ghost. In the good reverend's term, I'm sure his belief in the physical spirit does not exist as the traditional definition of a ghost would be. But it doesn't take into consideration parallel universes, energy transfer, and other scientifically supported theories. In short, to each his own. And
biocentrism being one of them, but yes.
Yeah. And then I pretty much, you know, he was talking about you know, we were talking about scheduling, and then he goes, I'm glad the Reverend has all the answers. I said, I really like what you said, throwing in the theory of parallel universes, because Robert and I are reading a book that supports the theory and gives scientific proof to the existence of a human spirit. Then to add insult to injury, at the end of the show, he goes, what kind of reverend is he? One of those online ones? You know, as... He said, do you know that last year I got ordained as a minister as a joke, but I am legally a reverend?
Me too, dude. I did it to just see if I could do it, and I am too. I'm a reverend that says the word fuck.
Isn't that funny? You are the spirit of truth. what are you doing over there?
To me? Jerking my dog
chain. but that just, you know, it's funny that you can get online and get ordained for like, what is it, $25?
It's free.
Oh, okay.
You can get it free, dude. So the church minister or the church deacon will call you, ask you some questions, and they'll say, okay, and then they'll put you in their registry. Now, if you want their certificate, it's $25. They'll send your certificate. You go downtown, you register it for $15, and you're a state for $5.
Really?
So, it's $25, $30, $40. You can go into hospital morgues, stuff like that. Are you getting at why I did it?
You can get into
certain
definitely.
Places that other people can't.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
it helps.
I just think it's funny, you know. And I was actually joking with my girlfriend about religion and everything, and I said, you know what, I should start my own religion. She goes, what are you going to call it? I said, Benjamitism. And she goes, well, what are your commandments going to be? And I was like, well, first off, thou shalt not crop dust. you know, and, you know, just nowadays it seems like, you know, the whole, you know, the whole Ten Commandments thing needs to be updated, don't you? Don't you think?
Yeah. Thou shalt not commit self fellatio.
That was another one. Thou shalt not try to suck thy own wiener. Think about it. Thou shalt not kill. Well, so pretty much all of the people that work in, doing capital punishment, putting, you know, criminals down, they're dead. Yeah, or they're going to hell. You know, you gotta think about it. You know, it all seems taken out of context.
Well, they did it because it says in the Bible that you have to listen to the laws of the people on behalf of their reverend or whatever. And the thing is, they separated search and
search and chase.
This was a surf my cape. Your echo's messing with my head, dude. Your echo's messing with my head bad.
Oh, do I got a bad echo?
Yeah. Church and state. That's why they separated church and state. Yes, that's a lot better.
All right.
I can still hear myself.
Sorry about that.
It's called a headset, Ryan.
I know. I gotta invest in one.
Yeah, you've been saying that since the beginning of the show. You bought a car and
every time I go to Walmart and I'm like, I'm gonna get a headset. I go into the electronics department and I always get sidetracked by the demo games or the movies that are on the big TVs.
Pretty color, shiny penny. What's Bigfoot got to say about that one? Jeez.
Speaking of which, I found a Bigfoot track.
No, you found a bear track. Don't start that shit.
It was not.
I'm losing it. I'm losing like I did another friend. Fuck.
Me and my girlfriend were at the park and we were walking on one of the nature trails and I looked off and I saw a game trail going off into the woods and I decided to follow it and I get by this fallen tree that you had to climb over if you wanted to keep going, and I look down and I noticed these toe prints. I saw four distinct toe prints. I analyzed them and they looked like human toe prints.
Maybe
and
they
I'm
were
thinking,
a guy's
who's
foot.
What?
Maybe there's some guy that his foot got stuck in the mud somewhere and he was limping along with his other boot.
This is off the beaten path. This is like.
I just have one question.
It was off the beaten path. It's like why the hell would somebody be walking around barefoot? And this was next to there was actually shelter area that looked like a lot of fallen limbs that were weirdly like they shouldn't have been just piled in that one area. I didn't take a picture of that. I should have. And the game trail went all the way back to where this fence that goes into a farmer's field had, someone had pulled the fence completely down. And I was looking for hair and everything, but this footprint was actually big. Did you get the pictures that I sent you?
Yeah, I did, actually. I got to look at them a little closer. Maybe if the listeners are listening, you're going to go ahead and post those to Debunker Boys,
yeah.
Both sites.
Yeah, and I have a big I have a pretty big hand, and a big foot. This was I have a size 11 foot, and this footprint I would say looked like it was probably a size 14 or 15 if they wore a shoe, and I couldn't find any other prints because all the rest of it was covered up in dead leaves, the rest of the trail. And so it just seemed really, really weird. And I took a picture of my hand next to it for size comparison. Now, I have a big hand. I can grip a basketball. And this thing was, like, significantly larger, wider than my hand.
Hell yeah. All right, hey, man. I want to take about a three-minute break and play something. And take care of two things that I got to take care of. Won't you go smoke?
Sounds like a plan.
And
what
then
are we
when we
play?
Get back, well, I got something. It's a friend of mine that I work with. He promotes us too. But when I get back, I want to talk about that kid that rose from the dead in the morgue, and they have it on film.
Whoa!
Three people were praying over him, and they were waving up and down, and then he just sits up, and he was dead for over an hour.
Oh, well, I was dead for like 20 minutes.
You still are fucking dead. No, I'm just kidding. All right. We'll be back 3:20. 3 minutes and 28 seconds, folks.
They all be hating, trying to bring me down, but they can't stop us.
Nope.
Our heads are up in the clouds, they all were haters.
True.
Now they're playing it out so all can hear it.
Woo.
They're all maniacs now.
This is God-given, though, like it don't listen. Heartfelt defines every line has been written. I'm JC, got this game unlocked. Now gotta stop, already know that I'm the cream of the crop. Don't talk much, let my music talk for me. Don't cuss or don't swear, to me it's all boring. Don't wanna be the same as the rest of this game. Gonna be crazy and strange and have my own name. If you're not with me, you're not in the movement. If you're not in the movement, then you're already losing. I get the party popping, getting people clapping. People just watching, wondering what happened. And there's people in between, surviving CDs. Those ones have to be the best ones to me. It started with a joke, it continued with the passion, continuous desire to make this music happen. I write what you like, write what you feel. Don't write the hype, no, I write what's real. Tell you how I'm feeling, it must just get to you. I say a couple lines, it just sticks to you. Trash that crap, put my music in, it'll play it back in mind for as long as you live. Try to fight the movement, don't even do it with the future. Welcome to Maniac Music. Same people that try to tell me I wouldn't make it are the same ones dancing to my jams naked. Now I don't even listen, cause I know that they're faking. They wanna tell me so bad that they're in line waiting.
Let's go.
They all be hating, trying to bring me down, but they can't stop us.
Nope.
Our heads are up in the clouds, they all were haters.
True.
Now they're playing it out so all can hear it.
Woo.
They're all maniacs now. They all be hating, trying to bring me down, but they can't stop us.
Nope.
Our heads are up in the clouds, they all were haters.
True.
Now they're playing it out so all can hear it.
Woo.
They're all maniacs now.
They're all maniacs now. They all wanna act wild when they come to my shows. Invite the ladies, no hoes. I don't weed smoke, don't sit and stare, I'm not Tebow. Don't compare, I'll stick a free throw if you think I can't, but it still won't meet where my standards stand. So I'll come around on the rebound, and I'll show you how to really get down. On that from half court to a slam dunk, getting all different kinds of fan love, and the hate won't stick, it falls off. Cow excrement, you're all talk, your opinion valued by none. JC and JC, a powerful sum, they hate me, cause I'm bound to be the most profound sound this town will see. We blow crowds that are so astonishing, and I won't pause, I'm promising. They try to slow my roll, they try to throw my game, they try to hate my flow, but I ain't listening, no.
Same people that try to tell me I wouldn't make it are the same ones dancing to my jams naked. Now I don't even listen, cause I know that they're faking. They wanna tell me so bad that they're in line waiting.
Let's go.
They all be hating, trying to bring me down, but they can't stop us.
Nope.
Our heads are up in the clouds, they all were haters.
True.
Now they're playing it out so all can hear it.
Woo.
They're all maniacs now. They all be hating,
Trying to bring me down, but they can't stop us. Our heads are up in the clouds, they all were haters. Now they're playing it out, so all can hear it. They're all maniacs now, they all be hating. Trying to bring me down, but they can't stop us. Our heads are up in the clouds, they all were haters. Now they're playing it out, so all can hear it. They're all maniacs now.
And we're back. Hey, people. We're back. That is Jay-Z Jaznak. Anyway, you there, Ryan? I don't think he understands what 3 minutes and 28 seconds was. Anyway, I was watching the news, and they see this kid set up. I went to let his parents, friends, were, you know, praying around him, and it just blew my mind, kind of. He's been dead for about an hour. It was kind of crazy. So, basically, it hit headlines, and there was a movie made about it and everything. And to date, no one has misproved it. It's one of those, you know, angel stories.
How'd you put me back on? I just came back.
I just now put you back on. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. When you said go smoke, I wasn't sure. You didn't clarify what I should smoke, so I decided to spark up a J. That takes a little bit longer. I had to roll it, too.
Oh, you had to get your spliff rolled up? My bad, dude. I called it a spliff like I'm from the 60s or something. Now, I was explaining to everybody that basically you see this video of this kid sit up after he's been dead for an hour, and his families and friends are just rocking back and forth, praying to God, crying. And to date, no one has been able to disprove it, and there was actually a movie made about it.
How come I haven't heard of this?
I seen it on national news like a week ago. And then it's like someone squashed it. It's like someone squashed the story because it comes on news, you know, and they're talking about how it happened like a year ago or something like that. It was one of those deals where he was frozen in water. And they tried resuscitating him and couldn't resuscitate him. Well, scientists call it spontaneous. Well, I can't remember what it is. And what it is your body, the temperature comes up on your body enough to where all they shoved all that those chemicals in him to try to bring him back and shock him. It all just comes unfold at once and just boom, he's awake. And that's what they believe
that
possibly caused it, but.
That does sound very likely because when there are different ways, like you can do it with a fly and everything. You can take a fly and put it in the freezer for a while, and that fly will be dead. Like it'll be frozen dead. It won't be moving. But the minute it thaws out, it'll start moving again. I mean,
yeah,
and
this kid came back with no damage at all.
I guarantee he's got some sort of brain damage. He's got to. He's got to.
Well, all of us got a little bit of brain damage.
Well, yeah.
The stupid things we do and then sit back and say, why the hell did I do that?
Well, the body when it's rapidly cooled, it goes down into shutdown mode, and it can be resuscitated. I mean, it's not like it's impossible. I mean, think about it. You know, why are the nursing homes so overcrowded nowadays? Because nobody's dying anymore. They keep pumping people full of drugs that keep them alive.
Yeah, well, I remember I grew up in Highland. I was born in Columbus, Ohio, and I moved to Marengo, Ohio, and there was a kid that was right near the pond, near the high school. He fell in through the ice, and they couldn't find him, so they broke the pond all the way up to get his body, basically. And they got his body, and they put him in the, you know, mini wagon or whatever, the ambulance, and one of the ambulance guys decided he was going to try to resuscitate him. So he starts warming him up and resuscitates him. The kid did not have a bit of brain damage. Well, at that point, I don't know about now, but it wasn't showing any brain damage. That happened, but that was one of those deals where it was one of those negative 14 days.
Uh-huh.
And he went through, and it froze him instantly.
Yeah.
What they're saying. They said it was what people in those cryogenic labs have been trying to figure out. It was just a fluke that he even survived.
Well, think about it. We're finding, like, perfectly preserved carcasses of woolly mammoths and stuff that were instantly frozen. And, like, they even still have the food in their stomach that they of their last meal. You know, so.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they bring that back. But there's too much degeneration to that one. Because of the heat.
Well,
the difference, even ice itself, when it's frozen, goes through changes.
They're frozen for way too long. But they got DNA genome sequencing that can go off of for cloning and stuff. And actually, they're working on that right now.
That's all we need. Let's clone a woolly mammoth. I'm gonna find a cave woman and clone me a cave woman. Watch too many sci-fi.
There's this thing that they actually are sequencing Tyrannosaurus Rex DNA now. They're able to extract DNA from bones.
If they bring one back, man, they'll extinct the whole world if they start repopulating.
No. If we can keep the Taliban under wraps, then we can keep Tyrannosaurus Rexes from overpopulating and destroying everyone.
I don't know. Well, yeah, there is. What do we do with, what the heck is it called? Dude, my mind is gone, bro. And you're the one smoking the splits.
For the record, I did not actually go out and smoke marijuana.
Food stamp cards. People on welfare.
Yeah.
I know I shouldn't be talking shit, but that's how they keep them under control, right?
I guess so.
So we'll just give the T-Rexes, food that only, just change the genomes. So they can only eat lettuce. We'll have lettuce-eating carnivores.
Yeah. I was reading this thing about what do they call it? Humanzies. They're actually trying to mix chimpanzee DNA with human DNA to create a humanzee and stuff. And I guess one scientist. What?
It's going to be like fucking Planet of the Apes, man.
I know, right? There's been a lot of controversy on whether or not that worked, but I'm sure they did get something, and the government's just keeping it under wraps like they keep everything else that's super cool under wraps.
Yeah, like wormhole technology.
Something. Who knows?
Well, no, we're getting this shit into space, and I haven't heard of anything being launched lately. Have you? How the fuck are we getting in space?
There's still launching.
Gay technology.
They're still launching shit into space. It's just...
Yeah, but they
NASA's still running. It's just private... NASA's still running. It's just privately funded now. Isn't that kind of scary?
Yeah, but explain.
Isn't that
kind of
scary that space exploration is now privately funded by private investors?
Yeah, but they decommissioned all of the space shuttles, and then you find out 2 months ago there's a space shuttle in space. If it was decommissioned, why is there a space shuttle in space? I don't get it.
Say that again?
They decommissioned all the space shuttles that we have. NASA did when they shut down, or when they changed management. Well, two months ago, I got that where they saw the alien on video, supposedly, and there was a NASA ship up there with it. Well, how the hell did that get up there if it was decommissioned?
Yeah. Who knows? Fucking government, right?
Conspiracy theory. Damn government. Filthy fucking animals. Oh, my God.
We might have a caller. Let me see if they'll come on.
All right. Hello. Yeah, this is Bigfoot. I just have one question. Why can't you all just leave me alone for my bar mitzvah?
I didn't know Bigfoot was just, that's you, dude. My bad. So who do you think is coming on right now?
Her name is Jane Kubander. She was part of the team that I used to be part of, Ghost Joe's. And she moved down to where'd she move? South Carolina or something with her husband in the military. And it'd just be good to hear from her again. So she might be calling in a second.
One. Nope. She's not here. Not here.
I just said please call in. Oh my God. It is getting harder and harder. It is getting harder and harder to find shit. Oh, she's calling. She's gonna be calling in.
Okay.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird, and if that mockingbird won't sing, Mama's gonna buy you a diamond ring.
That is so creepy.
I know, dude. That's why I did it. I want to creep everybody out.
That's a demon.
Hey there, Jane.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello? Good. Good to hear from you after so long.
I know. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Actually, you know what's crazy? Jason is not doing ghost hunting anymore, and I'm getting all of his equipment here in a little while.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
And,
I keep looking for people here that are diehard, and I can't find anybody. You would think I could, but...
Yeah. Have you done anything lately?
Not lately. I get a lot of people sending me their own personal pictures and videos and stuff on occasion, but I don't go
it's
out
all, it's all
very often.
It's all pictures of dust, right? It's all pictures
what'd
of
you
dust,
say?
Right?
What'd you say?
Can't tell.
Hello?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was getting feedback. I can't really tell what you guys said.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I said it's all pictures of dust, right?
Mostly, yes.
Oh,
we get a lot of quote unquote orbs.
Well, for those of you listening, this is Jane. Now I'm probably going to butcher your last name, Kubander, correct?
You got it right. Way to go, Ryan.
All right. Kubander. She was, like I said earlier, she was part of the Ghost Joes when I joined, and we had a lot of fun, and that really sparked my interest in doing this as more of like a regular thing, sort of, so to speak. And she unfortunately had to leave the team before I left, and she you moved to South Carolina, correct?
I live at Fort Stewart, Georgia.
Oh, okay. And
oh, you were way off,
yeah,
bro.
It's been a while, okay? But, yeah, since then, me and Robert here created the Debunker Boys, and now what we spend most of our time doing is neglecting our loved ones and debunking most of the paranormal claims that people come at us with.
That was my favorite. I missed that. I'm kind of jealous here.
But I'll never forget that the second time when we were what house was that? The Houston House in in Missouri? Where was that?
Is that Newburg? I think it was in Newburg, wasn't it?
Newburg. Yeah.
I want to say.
And you and I were sitting at the base camp area. And we started feeling that weird thing, and I started the EVP session, and I asked a question, and we got that definite no. You remember that?
I do. I really do. There are so many times I had so many experiences with Ghost Joes that I will never forget. Wow.
Well, go ahead and share some if you don't mind.
Oh, I think my favorite was, do you remember the house that we were doing across from the railroad tracks with the restaurant downstairs?
That was the Houston House.
Is that what the name
was
of it?
That?
No, it wasn't Houston House.
Yeah, that was the Houston House right across from the train tracks, and right next door was that bar.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're right. I was thinking it was two different ones. But anyway, when I had gone upstairs, when we did our walkthrough with the lady from the other paranormal site, I asked Heather to videotape. She had the camera upstairs to videotape because I saw something out of the corner of my eye. And later on, this is the video that's posted on YouTube now. But as I was sitting there talking to the little girl, trying to coax her out, you can see my meter light up just as if someone was sitting in my lap. That was my favorite.
Oh, I remember that. That's when we got the Class A EVP of the little girl saying, I love you.
Yes, that is the night. I just wanted to take
you
it
got,
home with
you
me.
You got emotional
and said,
with
no.
That. You got so emotional with that. You were crying, and you came back, and you were just like, oh, my God. I remember that.
Yes, it was really, really an emotional and heart-touching experience to have a child feel like a child is there with you that you can't see or touch or feel. It's very emotional.
That would be sad.
It was. I mean, it seemed like that little girl was definitely interacting with you. And last week we had a reverend on who says that there is no such thing as ghosts.
That's kind of how I feel
ghosts.
About it, too.
But
go ahead and
do
another
no
live
ghosts.
Stream. I like
there are only demons. That they're just demons that are just trying to manipulate your mind. Do you?
Baby, don't say a word.
You guys are awesome.
We Yeah, we have a lot of fun on this show. We just we kind of say whatever's on our mind. Robert and I, when we first started talking, we definitely figured out that we both have diarrhea of the mouth. And so we thought, what better than to create an R-rated paranormal blog talk show?
Are you shitting me? No. Diarrhea, get it?
Yes, Brian, you're now figuring this out.
Sorry, go ahead. What were you saying?
Robert's very trigger happy with all the sound clips that we have.
I see that. I like the sound clips. They're pretty cool. They add to it. Be careful.
Yeah, they do, except when they interrupt. But
they get a 3-second delay sometimes. It's irritating, man.
So what are you doing nowadays, Jane?
Well, I do a lot of stuff. Between my home-based business and my family, I stay pretty busy doing the mom thing. I've got a high schooler that plays football, so it takes up a lot of time.
Oh, so with tomorrow being Mommy's Day, are you expecting a full day of pampering?
No, I don't celebrate Mother's Day. It's an overused holiday. You know me.
Are you Mormon? I'm sorry. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Are you a Jehovah's Witness? It's not Mormon.
No. No, actually, I'm very Catholic.
Okay. Oh, and that is very surprising that you're very Catholic, yet you're adamant about hunting for ghosts.
Absolutely. I grew up in a house where it happened a lot. They were there. So it's hard to deny something that you've seen yourself or witnessed yourself, I should say.
But the Father would say that it was the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
No,
it
not necessarily.
It was demons working on their time.
Yeah, there we go. I didn't say the REV.
Yeah, with this reverend, I was trying to argue with him. I said, you know, I got to stop saying that. I can't say the R word. I was arguing with him about the fact that, like, that not all, you know, paranormal happenings are demons. You know, sometimes they're just loved ones letting you know it's okay, stop mourning, you know. And he goes, nope, it's demons. They're just waiting for
or
you to
angels.
Get weak.
Or angels.
Wow.
No. Yeah. It was very controversial last week.
I bet.
Yeah.
I guess you have a closed mind. You'll always have a closed mind.
Well, the thing was, he believed that when you died, you went to heaven and you could come back as an angel, but not a ghost. You'd either have to be an angel or a demon. There was no ghost.
Then he doesn't even know his own Bible because angels were never human.
Word. That's what I said before you were on the right. I don't know, an hour ago.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, he doesn't know his Bible. Exactly.
Yeah, they were never people.
Yeah, we're actually very excited. Here in a few minutes, Brad Kling from Ghost Lab is going to be calling in. And we're very thankful that he's taking time. I don't know if he's on vacation because he said he's out of town. But he's going to take a few moments to call in because he definitely had some strong opinions to what the good reverend was saying last week. And damn it, there I go again. he's just gonna kind of share about that. And what when I messaged you, Jane, tonight, you said you were sharing photos on Facebook.
Yeah,
photos.
Was it from an event that you had or something like that, or?
They were just friends and family photos, tagging people in them, and
accurate.
photo everything.
Oh, yep, I can definitely tell you are super Catholic from that one, from the latest post you got on your Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Do I want, whoa, what's going on?
Oh, she's got a statue. Is that the Mother Mary?
Yes.
Statue?
Oh, I thought
yes.
She had a Catholic uniform on or something. I was like, dude, what are you guys talking about? Yeah, Catholic. Yeah, it's definitely Catholic.
Yeah, well, Jane, I've definitely been keeping up with the paranormal stuff. Actually, in Galena, Illinois, I got hooked up with a ghost tour business and ended up creating a promo video for the storefront window, and had some interesting experiences with that. And we got to go to the old Marine Hospital for a night where people actually paid to come ghost hunting with us.
That's fun. I know
huh?
They do. There's a lot of tours here, but it's just that. It's touristy. Some of it's made up, and, you know, I'm not down with that. I want to prove it. I want to prove it's there by proving it's not, whatever it is, wasn't real, so that the real stuff can come out, you know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, those tours where they take about, like, 30, 40 people around, and they show them different haunted places. You know what I found out a lot of those ghost tours do? At the end of the ghost tour, they tell them that most of the ghost stories are made up. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Could you imagine paying like $20 or $30 to go on this like 2-hour-long ghost tour, seeing all these old houses and these old buildings and stuff, and hearing the ghost stories, and then at the end they're like, we just made them up, just to, you know. Could you imagine that? I'd want my damn money.
I know the ones here, they do a lot of stuff, but they really don't talk to them much. They just ask them if they've had a great time. So they do tell them about the history of Savannah, and that's pretty cool, but I don't know. I get a lot of people here that want to go do paranormal investigation in the cemeteries a lot. And
I'm not a crawl anymore.
A lot of stuff in a cemetery. Bunch of bodies there. So I enjoy doing it. I'm definitely a believing skeptic. So
next time
great
someone
to have
asks
on a
you
team.
To, well, the next time someone asks you to go on an investigation like that to a cemetery, tell them to bring a shovel, and then they'll change their mind.
Hello, we got another caller.
Answer, good reply.
Hello.
Call.
Hello?
You there? I'm
yeah,
still here.
Yeah, it's Brad Kling.
Hey, Mr. Kling, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. What's going on?
Oh, not too much. You said you're out of town. Are you on vacation?
No, actually, I'm in Huntsville, Texas, at Sam Houston State University. My niece is graduating from college today. So we're up here for the graduation commencement, but it's also Huntsville's where the state prison is. So we had to go see the electric chair and all that kind of good stuff.
Oh, that's awesome!
Sweet.
Yeah, Texas is the state to kill people, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. Don't mess with Texas.
Oh.
What they say in Texas, you can kill someone, but we'll kill you back.
definitely. With Everyday Paranormal, have you guys been doing a lot of investigations?
Yes and no. Not so much right now. I've been taking basically this entire year just kind of reformulating everything. As you may or may not know, Barry is off doing his own thing now. He opened a fishing guide and hunting guide business, which he's an outdoorsman. And he always wanted to do that, so he's off doing that. And I'm off doing filming and documentaries and things like that right now. And every now and then we'll get an investigation that comes across and we'll go. But for right now I'm just concentrating on just getting everything situated for the next several months and into the next year.
Oh, that's cool. Do you have any special projects coming up that you can talk about, or?
Well, there's one. There's my recent, in the past about 2 years, we've been dabbling in the film. You know, ever since Ghost Lab stopped filming, you know, I kind of learned how to do all this kind of stuff from watching, you know, the production company and everybody. And I'm out doing my own documentaries now, and the one that we did up in Galena, Kansas, called Shadows on 66, the Galena Murder Bordello. I'm actually nominated for an Emmy for best documentary, best historical documentary. And so that's kind of exciting. Second time out the gate trying to do a film, and you get nominated for an Emmy, so you must be doing something right.
Yeah, tell me about it. Wow.
So I have a new project coming up. It's called Curiosity. And, you know, it's not an investigation. You know, to me, the investigation shows that's so overdone, and it's so old. You know, I wanted to just kind of explore the stories, the real people who have the real experiences, and not go into things going, you know, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to prove if it's true or not. You know, that's not what this is about. This is about people's true stories and just everything that's weird out there. And it goes for everything from ghosts to conspiracy theories to, you know, UFOs and those kinds of things. But, you know, there's still a lot of ghost stuff in it. And then every now and then we're going to get into the investigation mode just to check things out. But it's definitely a different spin on things, and we actually kicked filming off May 25th here in Texas, and this is, you know, we're creating this for our own YouTube channel. And beyond the Discovery Channel, we always realize that you just can't do things exactly the way you want to. So this way, we have our own channel, we can do our own thing, put it out there, and you know, we're having fun. So if we're you know, getting awards or getting whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, we're having fun at the same time, so that's what counts.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that counts.
So is Barry like done doing the paranormal investigation completely?
Pretty much. It's one of those things where, you know, it's a personal decision every now and then. You know, even the greatest of quarterbacks retire from the NFL. And he just felt like it was time that, you know, he wanted to go off and do his own thing. And, you know, this stuff is time-consuming. And ever since, you know, I started Everyday Paranormal back in 2007, you know, all the way through, you know, filming the television show, we were gone for, you know, 8 weeks at a time filming. We were looking at places. We were going to places even before the show, like two or three investigations a week. You know, in the past 7 years, that kind of wears on you. And for him, it was time to do something else. For me, it was time to just kind of take it in a different direction. But I'm still 100% into it because, after all, I'm the one who did start it. It is my passion 100% through and through. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, that's what we definitely – the direction we took it, we were tired of every Joe Schmo out there posting stuff on Facebook and stuff saying they got the next best evidence and it's pictures of dust or, you know, it's just horrible, horrible, horrible stuff that they're saying is proof of ghosts. And Robert and I got together and we started correlating ideas, and that's how we came up with the Debunker Boys. And, you know, when we first started this, we got so much negativity coming our way, talking about that, oh, we're just out to make a joke of the paranormal community and stuff, and we just believe that everything is fake, and that wasn't it at all. We were literally just saying that almost 90% of it could be debunked and explained through organic reasoning, just that other 10% is what still leaves us stumped and leaves us looking for answers.
Yeah, you know, there's probably in all the thousands of hours of doing this, the tens of thousands of hours probably over the past, you know, in reality, probably 20 years when I started doing this, but, you know, officially as a group seven, I probably have four or five things evidence-wise that's like, wow, that's really cool. you know. But other than that, you know, it's not. And it's funny how it has come to every parent who goes out there and they go on investigation. They say, hey, we're going to this investigation tonight. The next day they come back and they're like, oh, my God, everything happened. And we got all these pictures. And we got 25 EVPs. And it's like, come on, guys. No, you didn't. And is it a matter that they're lying about it, or is it a matter that they just want to have something so bad that every little dust particle and every little whisper is something? And that's where, you know, and honestly, that's kind of a reason why Barry got frustrated with it, because, you know, that's, you know, 99 times out of 100, that's what's going on out there, and he just got put up with a lot of stuff. He's like, you know what, you know, I just got to get out of this. And I always said, you know, you have to do your own thing, and, you know, don't worry about what other people do. Just however you feel best, you go out and do it, and that's what you do. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, I get tired of it, too.
It is very tiresome. Robert, called it quits here.
Yeah, I've only caught two things since I was 15, and I'm 36. I've caught two things. Most of it's been just people, you know, getting themselves all riled up because they watch all these paranormal shows and getting freaking themselves out. And then they let a group come in that doesn't know what they're talking about, that's been doing it for a year, and they get scared. They show them this evidence, and, you know, it's just infrasound. It's what do you call that, Ryan? The pictures, the pareidolia or whatever it's called, pareidolia?
Pareidolia. Yep.
Yeah. They see that and they freak out. And like I said, I've only found two things, two that I cannot explain, and I'm still trying to explain them and figure them out.
That's
so,
not only that. There's things that I've experienced too that maybe we didn't get a video or whatever of. It's those experiences that can't be explained, and that's what leads you to look at more. But I mean, whoever's listening out there tonight, I'll be honest with you, you're not going to go out and you're not going to get something every single time. You're definitely not going to get 25, 30 things every time. I've literally had people come back and go, oh, my God, we literally have 12 EVPs. Listen to this, you know, and just things that go, you know, what is that? You know, even if that was something, I wouldn't even present that because whatever. I mean, I can go on for days about that kind of stuff, but you know, I don't want to be negative about the stuff. I want to be positive, and I'm going to just show my positivity through the things that I do now through my films. And, you know, I continue to investigate the same way I did before, very objective and, you know, very scientific. So that's
A lot of people come down on the shows like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures and say that they created almost false guidelines of how paranormal investigating needs to be and everything. The show Ghost Lab, how do you think that was that changed things? How was that different than Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters?
Well, to be honest with you, Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures, they're out there for entertainment. It's out there to entertain people. It's showmanship. It's, you know, things like that. And I'll be honest with you, when Ghost Hunters first started a long time ago, I think they were on the right track. But the more seasons came out, you know, the more pressure it was to keep it up and keep it up, and it just became too much of an entertainment factor. And that's when we did Ghost Lab. That was kind of the deal. It was like, hey, and that's why Discovery Channel liked it so much, because, you know, they want the educational part. They want the scientific part. And we actually put scientific process to certain things. Let's correlate things over time. Let's use conventional wisdom and theory. And let's use real scientists in the community to, you know, further support the things that we're doing. And that's how it was different. You know, it made you think. It was a thinking show. You know, like, maybe that is possible.
Oh, yeah. It was really cool. Honestly, one of the most memorable shows that I remember that I thought was really, really cool was when you guys did the Vasilica Axe Murder House, and how you actually got it seemed like the what was that, the REM pods were going off in a sequence, or what was going off? I don't remember.
It was the data loggers were going off in a sequence, and And it's funny because you go into these places and everybody expects, well, we want to get the sound or you know, the voice or the sighting of a ghost. We got something that was even cooler. That was, it was something that was in a pattern of what they thought the murder path was. And whether it was or not, it was very coincidental, but it matched. And plus, we got an EVP at the end that we were saying, you know, why did you do it? And we got this voice that said, for fun. So it kind of matched the theories of who maybe the murderer was. But it just, it puts a different spin on it. You know, not everything is going to be that movie quality, you know, Paranormal Activity 4, you know, type shadow figure moving through the room. It's going to be something that's a little bit more subtle, but again, makes you think, maybe that's something else. One other thing that happened later on at the Lifgask Murder House that no one knows about is, you know, Johnny Hauser, who runs the place, he's a friend of ours. He called us about a year ago, and we did the show there about 4 years ago. And he called us about a year ago and said, Brad, you never believe this. Somebody got an EVP on an overnight investigation last night, and it was a male voice that said market. So market. Literally market, which is what I used to say when we would hear something, we would mark the time. So it's almost like it makes us believe, hey, we've always theorized that we could make our own EVPs, that we're making them right now, the residual stuff, and what could that possibly be my voice that's being replaced from 4 years ago? And it just kind of supported the theory. It was just kind of cool. But that happened at the Lifgask Murder House.
That is neat. Me and Ryan, this is Robert, by the way. I really haven't got to talk to you too much. Me and Ryan are actually working on something with a couple physicists on the Radebe diode. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Are you talking to me?
Yes. Yeah, you have you heard of the, you know what I'm talking about, the germanium diode, how it's used for EVPs?
Okay. I didn't hear that part. I just heard you say you're working on something and you know what I'm talking about. Like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
The Radebe diode. Anyway, we're working on a different, that's out of the AM band and into a different band that deals in infrasound. And
yeah.
I've actually gotten some positive results from it. And have you dealt in that low of frequencies or anything like that?
We've dealt a lot in frequencies and, you know, the threshold of hearing and all the kind of frequency studies. And, we've done a lot of experimentation with that. And we have found time and time again that these voices, no matter how clear they are, they could be as clear as me talking to you in a room. And it sounds the same, but that voice that wasn't there is always at a different frequency level that you can't hear. And if you have the software that can mark that stuff, you can see it. We've shown that time and time again. That's all it's about. It's just about consistency and experimentation and showing. And that's what science is. Through something time and time again, through different experimentation, that makes it more valid.
Exactly. Now, last week when I was talking to you about when we had the Reverend on and about his beliefs, everybody kind of has their own beliefs on parallel universes and stuff. Kind of, what's your take on that?
Well, it goes. I mean, we can get real deep on this stuff, but in a nutshell. The world, time is infinite, okay, and time actually exists in a continuum, meaning that all time is its own frequency, and these frequencies go round and round and round, and every now and then a frequency could match another, and if it does at that moment in time, whatever that frequency matches, you could possibly see into that time, and that time can possibly see into you, which is basically, you're either looking into the future or the past, and the past is looking at you as either the past or the future. And we've had different experiences, different evidence that points to whatever it is commenting on us. You know, like we didn't see anything, but whatever it was apparently saw us and commented on the color of our shirt or commented on, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, it just led us to believe that, hey, this is very possible that, you know, this whole theory about, you know, what, I guess what the classic theory of a ghost is someone dies and their spirit, you know, levitates out of the body and wanders the earth and boo. That could be the case in some, but a haunting is not that alone. It could be that parallel universe thing. It could be the energy in the spirit. It could be a residual imprint. It could be a psychological imprint. It could be, you know what I mean? All these different things added together could be what everyone's experiencing, and the different frequencies of the parallel universe and the crossing of those frequencies is how we kind of base our parallel universe thing on. And, you know, like I said, we wouldn't have said that unless we had actually experienced it and talked to different astrophysicists on the possibility of the theory, how it works, how it relates to Einstein and all the studies that he did on the same subject, and it matches. You know, even though we're talking about ghosts and they're talking about relativity, it's all the same thing.
Well, you know, universes that are exactly like ours, that maybe that person didn't die in that universe, and it intersects and you see an image of that person, that's a possibility of a ghost, too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah. You could theorize forever, and that's the fun part about it, is theorizing the stuff and just making you think. But, you know, what you kind of told me, and this is the kind of experience I've had with these, and I use the air quotes of reverend because I don't know where they get their certification from. You know, a lot of these guys that are out there get their certification online. I told you I'm a reverend, right?
Oh, I
yeah, you did.
I went online.
You get in places.
It took me 5 minutes to sign up, and I can officially marry people, and like everything that I can do it. Now, what these guys do is they take that and they say, "Oh, I'm an exorcist now."
What he said was cool.
Where is that? What college?
He said he got in with the National Society of Exorcists or something like that. That's how he got certified. And what he's doing?
What is that?
I have no
fucking
idea.
Made it in his basement.
And that's exactly
made it. In his basement.
There's a lot of things out there like the national, I don't know what it's called, but I'm kind of making it up, the National EVP Institute or whatever. No one knows what an EVP is. How can you have an institute for it? You know, no one
what
knows
do you,
what an
exorcist
is. What
do you think about the couple that's on Ghost Adventures a lot, they're supposed to be
Mark
EVP specialists.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on them?
Well, nice people. I've met them several times.
What do you think about their classification EVP specialists or professionals or whatever?
I don't think there is such a thing.
It's called self-proclaimed.
Yeah, there is no such thing. There is no such thing as an expert in anything that you would consider paranormal. There's people that have had more experience in researching it than others, but nobody is an expert. An expert is someone who deals in fact and things that are known. And this is not. And you cannot sit there and call yourself an expert on something that is not known. Because by calling yourself an expert, you are now making the claim that you know everything there is to know about whatever subject that is.
Yeah, all we say we are is critical thinkers when it comes to how things work on a mechanical level.
And,
you know what I mean?
And unfortunately, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And paranormal philosophers. That was another one.
Paranormal philosophers. Hey, you know, it's better than calling yourself an expert on something. And like I said, nice people, nice as can be, and they really believe in what they do, which is another thing. You know, there's people out there that really believe in what they do, but they got to be careful because they're sheep. The mass majority of people out there are sheep. And they're going to eat and believe anything that's fed to them. And a problem with, like, say, just your Joe Blow paranormal team that formed overnight, and all of a sudden they go to someone's house because someone found out their paranormal team. And they go in there, they're like, "Oh, my God, I heard voices. You know, your child's in danger," and blah, blah, blah. You're causing panic in these people for no reason because you have no absolutely idea what you're doing, you know, or what you're saying. Nothing like that. And it's I think that kind of goes with the whole exorcism thing and the reverends and all this kind of stuff. You know, they're going to walk into a situation And because they are an exorcist or reverend, they're going to think something's demonic. You know, no matter what it is, it's going to be demonic. And guess what? They're going to be the ones that can exorcise them. And then they can put it on their website and they can hoot and holler about themselves. That's the majority of the people that I've seen.
Oh, yeah. This one, he claimed that in the 2 years that he's been exorcising demons, he has seen over, he's got cases where people are possessed by over 7,000 demons, and in the 30 cases he has seen all the levitation, the twisting, the vomiting, the eye rolling,
show me
back,
a video.
You know, the contortions. That's what I was saying. I actually told him, I said, I've been doing this for like 6 to 8 years now. I've been on I don't know how many cases, and I've never come across anything like that. And he clearly stated, he goes, well, you're one of the lucky ones.
Well, you know, I've asked him before, I said, man, if all that crazy stuff goes on every time you walk in the door, why aren't you videotaping this? This would be amazing. And they say that, well, exorcism can't be videotaped. Well, I wonder
why. That's necromancy.
Because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
He said,
now,
he
will tell
said
you
it's necromancy. Is what he
now,
said.
Well,
necromancy.
They said what?
Meaning,
he said
we're
necromancing. That's why he doesn't videotape it. It's private.
Okay.
In necromancy. It's against the Bible, is what he said. It's,
here's,
we're evil
okay.
for doing
well, here's, okay, well, here's what I got to tell him. And this is what I tell a lot of religious people. If you can show me proof that there's some sort of evil out there, or there's some sort of you know, proof of life after death, isn't that promoting your religious cause? If you could show someone levitating, that's going to prove that, oh, my God, there is another world out there, and, you know, I better repent or believe or do whatever it is that, you know, you feel is necessary to, you know, engage in that world. You know, that's promoting your religious cause. But no, they won't do it. And the reason they won't do it is because it's not happening most of the time. Now, I will tell you a quick story. The production company that filmed our show is the same production company that filmed Paranormal State. There was an episode of Paranormal State, it's called I Am Six, and it was about a girl who was supposedly possessed. The production crew told me, and when we were for there, saying, I kid you not, Brad, when we walked into that house, the minute that the priest walked in and started in on his, you know, Anonostus Lustus Domini and the blah, 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 you know, all that Latin and whatever they use, the cloud, it was a sunny day, and all of a sudden it was pitch black. He said the church bells in the town started to toll. The car alarms all in the street started to go off. And they were looking at each other going like, what in the fuck is going on here? And they said that was the most freaked out that they've ever been in their life. And they said they saw some crazy stuff. So I'm not going to sit here and say that that doesn't exist, that, you know, that could never happen. But I'm saying it doesn't happen. It's probably very rare. It is definitely not going to happen every time you go somewhere in a matter of 2 years. Sorry, it's not. And if it does, you need to show me. Because that should be your duty as a, you know, as a clergy, is to show me, hey, this stuff exists. Why go out there on faith when you don't have to?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
One big question I've always had whenever I'm watching the shows is the cameramen from the networks and everything. Those guys have to keep the cameras fixed on you, have to be fixed on you, and whenever something happens, do they get freaked out as well?
They do, and we there's a lot of funny stories about like our first episode, we had this audio guy, and it was the Shreveport Municipal Auditorium, and he was kind of a non-believer, whatever. Well, we started investigating. He's got the, you know, the big rig, the special audio with the boom mics and all that kind of stuff. And he starts hearing voices come across. If he's an audio expert, he's like, these voices are not supposed to be coming across here. These are on secured channels, you know, all this other kind of stuff. We said, dude, we told you. He would not, every time he had to go to the restroom for that entire shoot for those 3 days, he wouldn't go by himself. We had to go with him. We had to go stand outside the bathroom door while he went to the restroom. And camera guy. We had guys, we were in one place, the guy at the very end, because Barry and I, we like to get up there and rile stuff up. And everybody always hated to go into the buildings or wherever after we were done to clean up. Because there was one, he was an electrician guy, and he was rolling up a an extension cord. He actually got pushed down the stairs by something that freaked him out. He would not go back in. He was white as a ghost. So, yeah, cameramen, all the crew, they experience stuff all the time. In fact, we use their cameras a lot of time as a special angle. We use them as investigators. You know, that's another set of eyes for us. And on several occasions, it helped us prove or helped us validate some other things were happening because they had a better camera angle on it. And we used it.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
They freak out big time.
Okay. when using those cameras, why don't orbs ever show up on those production cameras?
They do. What happens is that if something is of poor quality or whatever, they just edit it out. If it's not, you know, of extreme importance. But a lot of times, well, the problem is that a lot of times you're not going to see the infrared, and I mean, you're not going to see the orbs of the dust unless it's in the infrared. And if you notice, our show wasn't really infrared. We had our infrared DVR cameras, but that wasn't, our show wasn't in black and white or that greenish infrared. It was in full color.
No.
So it was in the dark. It was full color during the day. You know, we didn't have those infrared cameras, and that's a lot of times where you're going to see that those dust particles go across.
Yeah, I did notice you guys kept, like, flashlights. And when you guys started Everyday Paranormal, did you have all those cool gadgets?
Yep, all that stuff is ours. Yep, all that stuff is ours with the exception of the actual ghost lab itself. Discovery Channel bought that for us for the show. Because we always did that. We always did that same concept, but we didn't have and that was actually Barry's idea. He was like, hey, you know, it'd be cool if we had like a trailer, like an FBI or CIA surveillance unit that we could just pull up and plug into a place, like a plug and play and go. And we built it. Now, even though they bought it for us, they gave it to us as an empty shell, and we had to build the whole thing out. But it was all of our stuff that was in there and everything that we used.
Because a lot of that stuff that you guys got looks really expensive.
They did give us a trailer.
Good deal.
After it was all done. So, I mean, what were they going to do with a trailer that had a big ghost lab wrap around it with Everyday Paranormal on the back? where was I going with that? It's expensive, but the trick is we got a security company to donate stuff to us. Barry and I went and sweet-talked this company, and they did surveillance and for, like, the Israeli Secret Service and stuff like that. And they had – it was like James Bond Laboratory, like Q. You call them up and say, hey, I need a head cam. I want it to do this, this, and this to be overnighted to us the next day. Because they got some run for their company on our show – so in exchange, you know, we got to use a bunch of cool gadgets, but we secured all that, and it was donated, so it was ours.
Word.
Wow. Like, yeah, some of that stuff, I've looked it up online about getting head cams like that and everything. Those things are freaking expensive.
Yep. I had the head cam, and I had a DVR with the monitor on the arm, kind of like Dick Tracy. With the pack, with the wires that ran all the way down and stuff like that. I mean, these were gadgets that we had the ideas for, and literally, like I said, a lab of security or scientist type engineer guys would build this stuff and overnight it to us. It was the coolest thing in the world.
That's amazing. Yeah, definitely. You got handed the silver platter.
Oh, yeah, and
I'm
telling you, it helps have a TV show, you know, and we use it to our advantage.
I totally forgot the questions. I was just thinking about about the head cams and everything. What do you do as a job, on a regular basis?
I am the senior manager of global financial systems operations at a company called Rackspace in San Antonio. And it's, it's IT. I'm an IT guy. I'm a senior manager at an IT company.
Hey, me too. I'm not a senior, but I'm an IT guy. I'm working on it. It just started a month ago, not even a month ago. But you got to start somewhere, right?
Yep.
Now, you seem very, very knowledgeable when it comes to big words. I just want to put it that way.
You seem to be knowledgeable when it comes to big words.
Yeah, I just thought dumb as shit there. That was Missouri coming out in me.
You got a party mouth, boy. You got a party mouth.
Yeah, where'd you learn all them big fancy words there?
So he did sound dumb as shit.
I could dumb it
down for you if you want me to. I could be a complete dumbass if you want me to.
No. When it comes to electronical devices and dealing with computers and shit, that's Robert's cup of tea. You know, when we're talking about these radios that we're building, he'll sit there and he'll talk gibberish to me, and I have no idea. I'm not saying too much, but I have no idea half the time what he's saying, and he has to really dumb it down for me. But when it comes to medical knowledge, because I was a medic in the Army for 6 years. And when it comes to medical knowledge, that's where I get in with the quote big words. So, what do you have a degree in?
My business, BBA in marketing, of all things.
Marketing. So you don't have a degree in like computer engineering or anything like that?
But that's what I do for a living. Go figure. That's what I tell my kids. College degree is a college degree. Get that piece of paper and go do anything you want.
Yep, that's what I was told.
Almost.
But I don't have any. I went for a year, and then I got into I'm on help desk one right now. I'm hoping I'll move up fast, but there's a lot to learn, man. Man, there's a lot to learn.
Now, at what point did you did you say, we need to take Everyday Paranormal and pitch it to a network?
We didn't pitch it to a network. They came and found us.
Oh, really?
We weren't looking for a TV show. We were literally sitting around one day, and remember I told you that the producers for Paranormal State were the ones that produced our show? They called us, and this is a real long story. They told us they were looking for locations in Texas, because some fell through, and they were coming down here to film, and they wanted us to give them some locations that if we did help them out, then we could kind of be on their show, like as guests or whatever. We're like, okay, yeah, whatever, that's fine. So the producer came down, he filmed us doing some stuff, and he goes, hey, you know what, you could hold your own show with how you do this stuff. I know of some networks that might want this. Well, come to find out later that they were actually looking at us to be the replacement for Ryan and all those guys, for be the new Paranormal State. That was their initial thought. But then our producer knew that Discovery Channel wanted a show, and so he kind of pitched it off the record to the Discovery Channel. Discovery Channel liked it, and it went through legal battles, people argue over who owned us and all this other kind of stuff, and finally it got settled. And, we had a contract with Discovery Channel, but we didn't go pitch it at all. It just fell in our laps.
That'd be sweet. we had a couple people talk to us and about a couple different things, but then there's money that has to be involved, and I don't have that, so we just kind of just blow them off.
Oh, if anybody's asking you to give them money, they're full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd never give anybody any money.
Well, the one was kind of like a deal with what you were doing. Like, they wanted us to go along, and then they canceled, then they call back, and then they'd say, oh, this fell through, and this fell through, and And then another person calls, and they're wanting like $6,000 for a reel, for a pitching reel, and this, that, and the other. And I was like, I'm done with it. I don't even care anymore.
No. If they want a show and a pitch reel, they come on their own dime. They pay for it. They go pitch it. Definitely someone's screwing you if they ask you for money.
We had a producer, and can't say who he produced or anything, but we were talking with him, and he goes, well, you know, I'd love to produce the Debunker Boys, but to shoot a pilot, it's going to cost about $50,000, and I need the money up front. And we're like, but you produce this show. And he goes, yeah, but I've been screwed by too many people. He's like, if you want me as a producer, you got to show me some money. I was like,
I don't know who that is, but that's not how the business works.
I know who it is, but I'm not going to say his name. We'll leave it at that.
But
not on air. We'll tell you off air, but not on air.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, I understand where you're coming from. On that thing.
So you said YouTube. You're starting a YouTube channel for your show. What's the name of that YouTube channel?
It's called Curiosity. Same as the show.
Okay.
So actually, what happens is we have a new website. It's called 9DiamondProductions.com, which is the name of my production company, and it's not the number 9DiamondProductions.com. And if you go out there, it takes you links to all the different things out there. There's even full episodes of some of the stuff that we shot prior to doing that Shadows on 66, like a full 50-minute episode or something. I got the trailers out there for the Curiosity stuff. You can get to the YouTube channels from there, and it's a real good website for just a lot of information of things that are coming up. So that's where you can go look to link up to everything.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check that out. Because my girlfriend hates it. She wants me to sit there and watch Bob's Burgers with her, but yet I want to watch stuff on YouTube, paranormal stuff on YouTube, because that's where you got to go. You know, I can't stand the Ghost Hunters anymore, or Ghost Adventures. It, like you said, it's all entertainment value anymore. And
well, it's where entertainment's going in general. I mean, you see that, like, Netflix, they have their own shows that are filmed for Netflix. Or Yahoo, you know, Yahoo.com, they have their own series on different things. YouTube is the same way. It's more control by the individual, and they're able to put some really good stuff out there. And advertisers are actually starting to go that way, because that's how the money is made for these things like YouTube and whatever. It's through the advertisers, which traditionally was the network. Well, people aren't watching TV anymore. There's 900 channels. They might be DVRing their favorite show and watching it the next day, but they can't get true numbers. But they can get true numbers off of the Internet. And so that's the way that the whole entertainment business is going.
Yeah, with the monetizing and everything of the videos. I haven't gotten into that, but I've had a lot of friends who say that, you know, they've made a couple hundred bucks by monetizing videos.
Mm-hmm. You just have to have everything original. That's the only thing about monetizing a video, which, you know,
your own music, your own name.
All that.
What was that, Robert?
I messaged Tim the name that I was speaking of, because I didn't want to call any crap on the air.
Oh, okay. Well,
I just noticed I'm friends with you, and I didn't even know I was friends with you, man. Sorry. On Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, we had that problem with the Zach Bagans and Miley Cyrus. We got introduced to their Facebooks, and the Facebooks actually kept going offline. Like it was like it said it's not available anymore, and then it would come back, and then it'd go off again. And we were actually having a conversation with them. We were talking with them, and then Robert had diarrhea of the mouth and his selective Tourette's, and pissed both of them off. And then after they blocked us, we find out that that was really them. We thought it was another fake.
I blocked Miley because she has diarrhea of the mouth.
Okay, all right. We'll leave it at that.
Not a
well,
story
Brad,
I'm proud
was,
of. I got blocked by Miley Cyrus.
You what?
I
Hannah Montana screwed you over.
Kind of rude, man. I met her dad when I was like 14. And he was kind of interesting. We'll just keep it at that.
Yeah, we had those achy breaky heart concerts.
No, it was okay. You're gonna think I'm full of shit, but my sister got married, and then we went to a family reunion, and he was there. To that.
Oh, you're related
person
to this.
She marries. Well, I'm not, but her husband is. It's his second cousin.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what that was about.
That sounded creepy. What was that?
I threw off my phone, what? Man.
Yeah, we're definitely not we're definitely not proud of getting blocked by Hannah Montana, but
I didn't mind getting blocked by Zach though. That's whatever. Whatever. Yeah, man. Whatever.
Oh. Well, do you have any other interesting stories you'd like to share, Brad?
Shoot, be specific, man. I could tell you all kinds of different stories.
Well, you live in Texas, so that's interesting in itself.
Yeah, I could tell you some stories that happened today, yesterday, that don't even have to do with any of this stuff.
Is it true that it's still legal to shoot someone if they walk on your land?
Yeah. Is it not elsewhere?
No. If they don't have a weapon and you shoot them, you go to prison here.
No, they're trespassing here.
Wow.
I dig it. Definitely. You're on my land, boy,
well,
and you got a pretty mouth.
Well,
yeah.
What if they walk in your house?
Oh, I'd shoot him in the face and then say that.
That's legal then, right?
Yeah. All you got to do is say when the police show up is I felt like my family and I were threatened and he had a knife. And just put a knife in his hand. Don't worry about it.
Brett, I heard that it's illegal to shoot somebody in the back if they're on your property. Is that true?
I don't know. Hang on a second. Barry's actually sitting in the same room we asked him. He would know something like this. Hey, is it illegal to shoot someone in the back that's on your land in Texas? You can shoot them if they're on your land, right? No? Yeah. Yeah, only if they're a threat to you.
Oh, okay.
So,
I got you. Well, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool that we have both of the stars of Ghost Lab in the same room. So
we're getting ready to watch the Spurs game because the we're from San Antonio and the Spurs are playing Portland tonight and they're getting ready to start here in a little bit. So I'm gonna have to jump off here in a couple minutes.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. I need to crack another beer anyways. So,
awesome that you called, Brad.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much. It was great talking with you here in your... Damn, this 3-second delay.
Yeah, I just stop talking when I hear you talk. I just stop.
One, two, three. No. Okay, you have
me. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brad.
No, pretty sure you'll have me on. I kind of got a kick out of the whole Reverend thing last week, so I was like, yeah, I'll give a call and see what that was all about. So, but definitely check it out. It's 9diamondproductions.com. Everything's out there. That's the number 9diamondproductions.com, and you can see what I'm up to. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
We'll spread the word too.
All righty.
Well, you have a great night and go Spurs.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
Later, buddy.
Later.
Bye.
Well, that was cool. Nice little hour-long segment with Brad Kling, who was sitting right next to Barry Kling.
They were the Kling brothers.
The Kling brothers from Ghost Lab. I'm surprised we didn't have anyone else call in to, you know, say, hi, I'm a fan.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, sorry.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be awesome if we actually had someone call in and say that as many times as you said that on the air?
Yeah. I'd laugh myself.
Well, let's go ahead and do our out. This has been the Debunker Boys, Guzzo and Bob here, and it was a pleasure. Thank you for everyone listening in. Thanks once again to Brad Kling from Everyday Paranormal for calling in and talking with us. And y'all have a good night.
Yeah, I'm gonna
let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.